All right, and it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in the Middle East. Today, it is June 1st, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to bless all the graduates that just finished studying so hard. And we're going to listen to some blessing from the university that we heard across America. It was amazing speeches, and it was really hard to pick and choose something. But I picked one that it will be maybe a tool, more like a toolbox for you to listen to. Then we're going to talk about the situation in the Middle East. Obviously, Syria is under a lot of pressure. There is a call for help from all over, and we are going to try to analyze what's really the role of America in all this. While we are talking about this, we want to also pay attention to the big player in the regions, China and Russia. And, of course, we're going to pay attention what is being done while we are busy, we become busy with the fighting. Of course, those talks in Geneva got Secretary of State Kerry in trouble. He got hurt, and I'm so sorry that he was feeling so, tired, I guess. He went to bike ride in Geneva in the mountains, and sure enough, he broke something. I hope that God will send him a fast recovery, because we love him. He works so hard for the world, and bless his heart. We want him safe and sound and back. I don't know if to the negotiation table, but wow, that's God's intervention in the middle. So we never know how it's going to end. Anyway, meanwhile, we are talking. There is a lot of things happening, but let's start with, our ordinary life still. Our commencement speech from the university that will give you some inspiration, and maybe we'll have time to talk about everything, but it seems like we are very, very busy today. So let's go to the first soundbite, and we'll take it from there.
Congratulations, class of 2015. Short and sweet, or long and soft. A sugar donut or smoked meal. Out of respect for you and your efforts in getting the degree, I thought long and hard about what I could share with you tonight. You know, did I want to stand up here at a podium and read you your rights? Did I want to come up here and share some funny stories? I thought about what you would want. I thought about what you might need. I also thought about what I would say and what I need to say. And hopefully we're both going to be happy on both accounts. As the saying goes, take what you like, leave the rest. Thank you for having me. So before I share with you some of what I do know, I want to talk with you about what I don't know. Now, I have two older brothers. One was in high school in the early 1970s. And this was a time when a high school GED got you a job. The college degree was exemplary. My other brother, Pat, was in high school in the early 80s. And by this time, the GED wasn't enough to guarantee employment. You needed a college degree. And if you got one, you had a pretty good chance to get the kind of job that you wanted after you graduated. Now me, I graduated high school in 1988, got my college degree in 1993. And that college degree in 93 did not mean as much. It was not a ticket, it was not a voucher, it was not a free pass go to anything. So I asked the question, what does your college degree mean? It means you got an education. It means you have more knowledge in a specific subject, vocation. It means you may have more expertise in what your degree is in. But what's it worth? in the job market out there today. We know the market for college graduates is more competitive now than ever. Now, some of you already have a job lined up. You've got a path for today's job. It's going to become tomorrow's career. But for most of you, the future is probably still pretty fuzzy. Now, you don't have that job that directly reflects the degree you just got. Many of you don't even have a job at all. Think about it. You just completed your scholastic education curriculum in life, the one that you started when you were 5 years old in kindergarten, up until now, and your future may not be any more clear than it was 5 years ago. You don't have the answers, you're probably pretty damn scared. And I say that's okay, because that is how it is. This is the reality that many of you are facing. This is the world that we live in. And while I'm not here to discourage you or in any way belittle your accomplishments tonight, which I'd like to applaud that one more time, congratulations. Now, I'm not here to get down on that, get that straight, but I am here to talk brass tacks. I want to skip the flattery and the attaboys, because I do know this. The sooner that we become less impressed with our life, with our accomplishments, with our career, with whatever that prospect is in front of us, the sooner we become less impressed and more involved with that and these things, the sooner we get a whole lot better at doing it. So, I'm going to talk to you about some things that I've learned in my journey. Most from experience, some of them I heard in passing, many of them I'm still practicing, but all of them I do believe are true. Now, they may be truths to me, but don't think that that makes them mine, because you cannot own the truth. So please think of these as signposts, approaches, paradigms that give some science for satisfaction. Now, yours to steal, yours to share, like into your own lives, to personally apply in your own lives, in your own way, should you choose to. So, here we go. Number one, this should come up on the Jumbotron. Life's not easy. Is it up there? Life is not easy. It is not. Don't try to make it that way. Life's not fair. It never was. It isn't now and won't ever be. Do not fall into the trap, the entitlement trap, of feeling like you're a victim. You are not. Get over it and get on. And yes, most things are more important than you would expect. Two, unbelievable is the stupidest word in the dictionary. Should never come out of our mouth. Think about it. To say, oh wow, what an unbelievable play. It was an unbelievable book, an unbelievable film, an unbelievable act of courage. Really? It may be spectacular, it may be phenomenal, most excellent or outstanding, but unbelievable? Give others and yourself more credit. It just happened. You witnessed it. You just did it. Believe it. What about the other side of unbelievable?
Matthew McConaughey, that's how I pronounce his name. He has a really hard last name for me to pronounce. He's an incredible actor. He's an incredible guy, and he gives his heart out every time that he performs, because it's true, an honest heart as his heart in the right place. And when he blessed those people, he says, you know, don't feel about you're entitled to anything. There is no entitlement in this world. You know, just, you know, we're not victims. Just let's do it. We're not, you know, we're not the greatest nation in the world anywhere, but we are here. We are human. We are here. Just let's do it. Please believe what everything happens. And he mentioned that not to say unbelievable. Unbelievable, for him, it's a word that does not exist in the vocabulary. You're supposed to listen and understand that everything is believable, because as we say, there is God and it's not us, so everything can happen when God. Now, he was talking about the world and about what we have to do in in this world to create a situation where we are winning. And of course, the winners are the ones that succeed in having a life. The winner is not the victory of a medal. It's not a victory of having your life, on the poster or billboard of anybody. It's just the regular thing of having a life and going to school or sending, getting married, sending your children to school, graduating. That's winning. People, if everybody thinks that everybody, life is about the glorious moment that you, of course there are moments that you want glory. Of course you want to walk on the red carpet in Hollywood and be clapped to, an incredible killer dress. Of course, I'll die to, it will be nice. But, it didn't happen when I had the body for that, so I don't think I want it now. but the idea is, what's the winner? And when you finish school, you have to understand how blessed you are. You really have to understand, because taking for granted the education is really silly, and everybody undermining themselves. And today, more than ever, we need to emphasize what education will make and will give to the rest of the world. We're touching base on education, and for me, it's the most incredible thing that a person can do, because we are empty. If not, we are so vague. We are not fulfilled when we don't feed our brain. And that's why looking for God is so exciting, because you can never reach. You can never reach. He's always smarter. He's always higher. He's always not there. So he's the ear, but he's not existing that you can touch. So that's why it's so amazing. And when people are enlightened, it's because they learn so much in the level of Berlin of God that they got higher and higher. But that's because they search, and education is the way of research. And as our friend says, you never stop studying. You always keep on learning. And every day is a new day, and you can always, always learn something. So keep your mind wild open. And you in California, a place where, you make movies. You make those incredible, inspirational routine about our future. Teach the children to enjoy studying. Because once you study and you enjoy it, your life is happy. Because people who are not enjoying studying are miserable, because it's a duty that they need to fulfill. And if they're missing on that, if a teacher miss on the opportunity to teach them how to do it, they actually failed them. Because if you don't love to study, you actually miss on what you don't know. If you don't love to study, it means that you're full. You are packed with your ego. Your ego has no space for nothing else, because you don't need anything, because you're all so awesome. Well, not. So I want to remind everybody, go to school, go back to school, study, get a book, enjoy yourself, and always, always, always keep on going, because tomorrow is unknown. It's a mystery, so we need to be prepared for it. Now, we have a lot of things going on as far as the world, and I want to talk based on this. Let's say that Syria is in shambles, of course, and everybody is waiting for it to crawl, but it's not going to happen in the next 24 hours, that's for sure. And we have a situation where we undermine what's the physical condition when we have there. It's not Syria, of course, it's Iran and Russia that inputs a lot. They're saying that there is three generations also of Russians already there. And they called all the Russians out. But the truth of the matter, if Syria is so involved with the other side of the power of the world, anything that happens in America, you know, yeah, America have to think about it. Because Syria is actually probably only geographic to a big, big stretch of what's going on. And, you know, in Israel, we have the Druze. The Druze are, I don't know if they are connected to the Kurds in some form, but both of them are on our side, on the western side, okay? Let's say that the Kurds are on the western side. They are in Iraq. There are like 30 million, you know, worldwide or in Iraq, around there, and they need to have liberation. If anybody needs to have declaration of liberty, it's them, because they have territory, they have management, they have 30 million people. They deserve to be a country, but they don't let them. And in Syria, while there is all this massacres and killing, there are many of the Druze that are connected to the Kurds there, and they are saying that they are like in Jabal and Druze, it's the mountain of the Druze, there are like 400,000 of the Kurds there. You know, you have the Khadr, that's 40,000, kind of, and you have in Damascus 150,000. You know, and in Halab 25,000. So we're saying that the Druze are all around there, and they're a power that needs to have assistance because they have no side in this. They're defending themselves. They are because they are a brand of different sectors. And the Druze in the north of Israel are connecting with them. They are talking to them. We just heard that Sheikh Tarif is trying to send some humanitarian help, food, and, you know, shelter their kids, their children, and they need assistance. So can we help those people? Now, the question is, are we going to ask Saddam? Assad, I'm sorry, Saddam is gone already. Can we ask Assad to just give it up? Because the killing's not going to stop. Somebody has to take control. But if I hear correctly, and the Russians have so much invested in it, and the American, of course, you know, they are the freedom. They keep the freedom of the world. And we're talking to the Iranian. We need to make an agreement there. You know, today I scroll. I'm putting a parenthesis, so don't think that I'm passing from one thing to another. But I got from the United Nations Human Rights Committee or whatever. We got. Notice that they're saying that they are about to have an agreement with the people in Libya. Now, think about it. Libya, you know, Libya is one side of the of the deal, of the coalition of craziness. So UN envoys hope new draft of a political deal can be agreed within 4 weeks. In Libya is on the verge of economic collapse amid ongoing violence, political infighting, and efforts by terrorists to build strong bases throughout the country. I don't know who's the terrorists now because they are all factors of tribes. So who's against who throughout the country? The envoy facilitating the United Nations effort to restore peace there, said as the brief journalist. Now, let's say something very interesting. Guys, United Nations is in the middle here. Now, who are United Nations representing? The world, right? But what kind of force they are? Who are they? Let's keep on going. Libya is on the verge of economic and financial collapse, he explained. The country is facing huge security threat in the form of Daesh, also known as the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant of ISIL, as well as increased political division. Daesh is trying to build strong bases in Libya. Okay, so they're talking about Daesh. Libya also is facing increasing political division with this competing institution in the East and in the West. So all these challenges will oppose the possibility of an agreement. All right. So we close this. Remember, we talked about the Libyan situation and the United Nations all of a sudden have a base there. And they are about to get an agreement with who? And now the Daesh is trying to get a terrorist. So we're still going to have Daesh, but we're still going to have an agreement. So I think that we'll need to have our expert on that from the ground, our friends and kind David Jerby, that talks to us sometimes and explains to us from an intellectual point of view. And will tell us about what's going to happen there if there will be any deal. It's going to be interesting. Now, let's go back. So we have a parenthesis, Libya, people are talking there, maybe there is something. However, Daesh is still strong. Syria is about to collapse and nobody's calling to Assad to give up the deal. Nobody calling. But they're saying, oh, we might send some troops. No, don't send any troops. We don't want more fighting. We just want an agreement. So if you can talk in Libya, sure enough, you can talk in Syria. So let's talk instead of translating, you know, the Iranian agreement that you're talking about, nuclear weapon, talk about what they're doing in Syria. Now, on the midst of all, we had a very lavish gentleman, something that is like out of a book of incredible situation. We have a situation where the Chinese ambassador is blaming America for interrupting or blaming America for getting in the way of the Chinese Sea and having so-called interfering in the well-being of in the South Sea. They want to have safety in navigation. They want to have, not interference in their businesses. I want to ask a question. Hello, China. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? America is fighting for the rest of the world, and you Chinese, you want to sell, and you want to sell, and we just got too close to the border, so you're going to have a defense agenda? We have America. When I talk, what we have, it's always the freedom of the world is America for me, and America is me. And trust me, being Jewish is not easy, and born in Israel, it's not easy at all. But, there are things that I was, whatever it is, it's America for me is doing the right thing. She works so hard. And this Chinese ambassador is wonderful. He said, America, not interrupt our shipment. Remember what I was saying, China is growing so fast and it's, and we're sorry to interrupt their growth, while we are trying to keep the world going from insanity to insanity. But the Chinese, they still have to buy. They bought Africa. And now they're putting a post close by. Now, I don't know how to say it, you know, but there are people that just don't see us. They just don't. And China didn't see us. They didn't see us going through all this. They didn't care about. They are loving human beings. They're wonderful. You know, every Chinese, I love them. I love their food. I love the manner. I've never been to China, but you know, listen, I'm a lucky girl, but, you know, but you need to have friends in China to go there. The question is, why China is not open mind to the rest of the world? And how come she's actually being annoyed by American military getting closer to the China border, and they are actually threatening. They don't want to escalate the tension. Do you know what the repercussion going to be? Are we going to have, missile guns to defend ourselves? We're going to make, we're going to make a cold war in Asia. We have to really think it over. Now, I'm not teasing, but I'm a little, you know, the audacity of those people are driving me crazy. And sure enough, I want to remind you all, that while you're sleeping or while you're working so hard to give us the world of security, you forgot something else. That the Chinese are investing in the economy. And they just signed an agreement to build port, to build a subway, to build a railroad. Did I say that before? Did I tell you guys? What I'm going to have, we're going to have visas for a lot of Chinese to come and work here. Of course, it's going to be much nicer than other, invasion of kind of immigrants that try to invade us and they don't have any knowledge or skill. You see, in the end of the day, what is immigration? It's a tool to have more workers, but if they're skilled, you're blessed. You know, it's like America got the Mexicans, and they are fantastic. They work so hard. They love to work, and they are doing a good job. They will have family, of course. You know, it's not easy, but I remember somebody made a movie, you know, America without Mexican, how it's going to look like. So, Chinese is opening the door here. And I already said that in the past. We have to invest in education. We need to open a base, first of all, we need to have an open base for agriculture reserve, because they're going to be a really, really mass planning on the agriculture. Because think about all those Chinese people that start to eat bread. They never ate bread before. They used to eat rice. All of a sudden now the corpse of, it's going to be important to start to balancing. And if the conspiracy theory of last week that there is the theory that the population factor in the world, I don't know about the conspiracy theory. I want to make sure that we have food for the next generation. And the way we are going about it, it's not easy. I remember going in America to the supermarket, and I saw so much food, and the meat is fresh. It's not frozen, that it's like if you don't eat it today, you buy it tomorrow. It's fresh. And I was asking myself, what you gonna do with the fresh food when it's gone bad? After one day, 2 days, 3 days, gonna throw it out? That's not God's plan. We're not supposed to throw food ever. That's something you have to keep in mind. Let's have some music. We already halfway through the program. I hope you're having fun listening. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is PBS Radio with the Impossible Truth. And this is your space and my space here. And I hope we can have some music to indulge us a little. All right. Oh, my God, Bette Midler, she's so great. I miss her movies. Guys, I miss her movies so bad. If you ever think that this girl is done, I'm calling upon you. I need to see her on the big screen. She is fabulous. She is amazing. She's the one who her spirit crossed around the world in no time. She's fantastic, and God bless her, and many, many years to live, many more movies. You know, I believe in great actors, and she's one of them. Of course, she's beautiful, and there are other that I love dearly, and, you know, they're a list. My goodness, you got a branding of the best actress, older. We need older women's stories, because, you know, you guys, we're done with the chicks' stories. It's we can have the teenager stories, and we can have the older woman's stories, because in the between, there is nothing. It's, well, I don't want to say it. It's all about, you know, whatever after, you know, careers, partying, or all getting married or getting divorced, but we don't like this. We like this, let's say, the hope, and after all of that, what's happened? You know, like the theory after, because just remember, the American dream needs to be alive and well constantly, because if you don't feed the machine, they're going elsewhere, and you don't want, you know, India to start selling more in movies in America. And while we're talking about chasing after our dreams, you all know that I'm a great believer in dreamers, because I know God, when he wants to touch you, he does. Doesn't ask if you deserve it, doesn't ask if you are worthy enough, he knows. So when a person feels in his gut that he wants to run, it's because it is the time for him to run. And today we got the announcement of the 2016 U.S. presidential race. Senator from the great state of South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, he announced that he's running. Let me tell you, this guy is awesome. It is great. He was in Air Force, of course, of South Carolina. Got, you know, they love the military people. And he's fantastic. He has his heart, his understanding of the global condition so clear that any time that they want to say, oh, he doesn't have a chance, why he doesn't have a chance? Why he doesn't have a chance? I know I said Jeb Bush is probably a good man to hold the office, because he knows the job, and we need somebody who knows to do the job. But Senator Lindsey Graham dedicated his life, you know, without stopping ever for the well-being of America, the well-being of the world, and of course in God. He's trusting God so much that he's a God-fearing man, and I give honors and kudos to him. I want to bless his race. I want him to be awesome, and I don't know how it's going to work. I know that many people think that some have God has a plan. But just remember, it can be you. next time. It can be you. It can be you. If God gives you the hope, if God gives you the call, if you are on a job constantly doing the right thing, your ticket will be up to do the right thing. Stand up. Be happy. Smile. Say, hey, it's me. Now it's up to me. So now let's see how it's going to work for him. But I'm sure it's going to be interesting. With all his accents, which I love so much. I don't know if you guys are having a hard time listening to it, but I'm sure it's going to be okay. I think it's terrific. So let me go to some music now again, so we can we will have to change the subject, because if not, I'll keep on talking about presidential candidates, which is nice, but we need to talk about the next, what's going to happen in the Middle East. All right? Let's go back, and we'll be back in no time, Sanjay. Oh, the ever-famous Gay Moore, never, never, never tired of hearing that Parisian Nights. Guys, I love that music. The guitars drive me crazy. But now let's go back to business. I got something, a soundbite to let you listen. And let's listen, and after we make an opinion, all right?
Hey everybody, I'm Christopher Green, and you're tuning into AMTV, Alternative Media Television. In today's video, I'll address the elephant in the room. Why is the US targeting Russia with US sanctions? What's the real reason? Who and what is the target? What's the chess move? Is it really just Russia, or do Western interests, the US, and namely Israel, have their eye on another prize? And how does this whole geopolitical mess shake out? You know, people have been tiptoeing and skating around over the past few days, weeks, and months. The real reason that the US dollar is rising. Isn't that interesting? Even Peter Schiff mentioned it this morning on CNBC, but kind of tiptoed and skated around it. Why is the US dollar rising? And namely, the reason for that is it's entirely being artificially manipulated by the Federal Reserve. Again, our favorite criminal, our favorite culprit. And it's engineered to do one thing, crash commodities and crash oil prices to crash Russia. But Russia isn't the end game. They're just a principal player in this whole BRICS nation mess. Now, of course, Russia strengthening ties with China and other BRICS nations, moving away, signing agreements, and moving away from the petrodollar. Again, the US dollar has been priced in oil for years, and that drives the entire global economic system at the moment. But that is all changing. And the United States, insolvent, bankrupt, with over $18 trillion in debt, doesn't like that. And it's one of the reasons we're meddling overseas, killing people in places like Iraq and Syria, propagating brand new wars, continuing wars from the Bush years, etc. The United States doesn't like that. So in order to corner Russia, to corner the Russian vodka-drinking bear, they are artificially, through the Federal Reserve, manipulating the US dollar, and it has been on a steady rise and has since crashed commodities as a result. And Russia backed into a corner. Their economy, their financial system is in a panic, the ruble collapsing overnight. But is Russia the real target? Is Russia really what the West has their eyes on? You know, there's been a lot of commotion in places in the Middle East lately, like Syria, if you haven't noticed. In fact, over six months ago, I predicted that Obama would launch a war there. And it's exactly what he's doing now. He's bombing the shit out of Syria and also Iraq, what they call the Levant, which is in utter chaos right now. And the fabricated boogeyman, the new one, because Al-Qaeda supposedly is dead now, and it's now just ISIS or ISIL or any other fabrication of a name that CNN wants to play with when they're not race baiting the Ferguson riots. All of this is engineered to position Putin so he's so focused at home with Russia's own problems, their own economic collapse, their own problems with their financial system, a collapsing ruble, that he doesn't have time to negotiate what's happening in Syria. Remember, Russia and Putin are a friend of the Bashar al-Assad government. Remember, not too long ago, just a few months ago, Western interests tried to fabricate one of the largest false flags in recent known history with the Ghouta chemical sarin gas attack. They tried to position Bashar al-Assad as the culprit, as the bad guy, as if it was his government that attacked his own people so that that would promote the West to oust him.
All right. Now, we had enough of this Michael Green. Let me tell you something. He looks good. He is excited when he's talking to you on YouTube. He's fantastic. He's so knowledgeable. Blah, blah, blah. Guys, you have to understand which side is your true side. Where is the people who try to fabricate or to manipulate your news? If you listen to this guy that says that Syria did not send, children, we had body bags, hundreds of children in 2013 in Syria, and Kerry, Secretary of State, could not hold it. Bless his heart, he wanted to attack. He wanted to attack so bad because there were dead kids on the ground. He says that we fabricated. He said, we are going to occupy, everybody, to dissolve, the Russian ruble just in order for us to do what in Syria? Darling, Syria is a small country. What do you think that America wants there? Oh, interest of who? I didn't understand the whole thinking. Or you just screaming and saying stuff against America. Oh, this is the new liberal thing to go against America? No, I don't think so. Because what you're saying is not correct. American interest is keeping safe. Now, Russia is pretty strong. And, of course, we had actually an understanding with Ukraine that they have a disputed territory over Crimea. But it's something that is being solved, and all this was between them and the European Union. And I love that the last one, that they say that America should not interfere with the FIFA. FIFA is the world football, the regular football, the European football soccer association. When America just realized that they were bribing each other and they might jeopardize America from having the Mundial, it's like the Olympic of the soccer, they were trying to promote it to America and it became in Qatar. So to say to America not to interfere is like, excuse me, we play soccer everywhere. And you guys are corrupt. You corrupt people. You paid. We don't want to mention who they gave money to, the foundation of who, because we don't want to badmouth anybody here. But Michael Green, I don't know. You look like a kind of smart man. Call me sometimes. We'll talk because you got that. You're skewed off the fact. America's business in the Middle East is her business. Actually, she was so hard working to keep people safe that she forgot her economy for the last 10 years while China is getting power, buying everywhere, everything around the globe, even buying so much stuff in Israel that I'm telling you guys, we need to invest. We need to invest in where the players are. And you know what? Sometimes it's not about how large the plant is what do you do with that? Remember that, because you can be in one point where everything is going in and out, but you can go to the rest of the world. And that's the purpose of Israel here. This is the place of God that he wanted, but he said, enlighten the nations. It means that you can turn this base to incredible setup for your country. For any country. They say that the Dutch are coming to build one port. The Chinese are building another port. America, what are you building here? Where is my university? Where is the University of Knowledge, America, you know, the most awesome nation in the world? It's not here yet. I'm waiting. I hope that you get it, because I really want to work on some, you know, something important for the rest of the world, you know, enlightened as we are. We need to work on the next step. So the real reason why the U.S. targeting Russia, no. The U.S. is not targeting nobody. The U.S. makes sure that she does her job in the world to keep herself strong, of course. Hey, you got the best educated people, the most incredible, you know, ability of all, your engineers so much. Russia is strong. It's growing beautifully. China is strong. It's growing beautiful. What do you have against America to do the same? I'm actually, you know, betting that America is going to turn the page on the disaster of the collapse of the economy for the last few years and going to turn the new page, because she always trusts in God. And that's why she's going to overcome it. You know that. And I trust in God, and I know that we're going to overcome. And telling the truth and having, you know, incredible challenges ahead of time. But it doesn't matter. It's our life. And as the Chinese bless you, have an interesting life. Oh, sure. We do have an interesting life in this world. It's not happening for nothing. But just let's remember, while you guys do your thing, we have to do our thing. We need to keep Israel, you know, as the holy country. And I need you guys to understand that we need to give space to God. And the space of God has to be humongous. You know, as all of Israel contains, you guys fighting, killing. God, stop, you know. Get to the sitting table, talk things over. And the Palestinian, you know, it's nice that they are camouflage what they want, while that guy was saying that he's going to nuke the leader, the targeted leader of the free Palestine, whatever Palestine is, you know, the land of God or Israel is the holy land, what they call it, Palestine then, as a territory. He calls to nuke Israel today or yesterday, in from wherever he is, and I'm saying, why you want to fight? This is all camouflage to destruct America, keep her busy with this nagging up. Let's talk, you know, Israel, and missing the point that Israel needs to be holy and start worshiping God and give more space to God and have a space where it's, you know, it's completely devoted to embrace all mankind, Jerusalem. The holy city of Jerusalem needs to be holy, quiet, fantastic with prayer, with the music of chanted, of all kind of, you know, prayer from all over. We need to try this. It might work. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. It's on BBS Radio. It's Monday, hours of peace, of love to God and to you and all mankind. And it's almost over. So I want to salute you. I want to bless you for a wonderful week ahead. And I want to remind you all, there is a God and it's not us. So trust in him. Have fun. Have a great, great life. And make great movies, California. I love you. Miss you. God bless you all. Thank you. And we'll talk to you next week, God willing. All the best.